And read a few verses, and tonight,
James chapter number 1. This is study number 4, fourth week we've been in the book of James, and I've already told you that when I was first looking over it, I thought, well, I can get 8 verses the first week, and 8 the next week, but it's not worked out that way. But I've learned something today in studying what we're going to look at tonight that I hadn't really thought about before, and so I hope it'll help us all and be a blessing and encouragement in the days ahead. But let's just read James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and just by way of getting started tonight, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And we'll try to get really into verses 3 and 4 tonight and see what they say and try to help us. But just a real quick review of where we left off last time, we've given the background of the book of James. We know, according to verse number 1, who he was writing to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting, and they were being persecuted. And it goes back to Acts chapter number 8. Then they that were, it says the same thing over there. So they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And it's talking about that group of Christians. That's who James was writing to, was that the early members of that church at Jerusalem that were scattered abroad because of that very first persecution. And so persecution was the sort of the background to James writing this letter. And then in verse number 2, he said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. And we talked about that last time, divers temptations. That's that word temptations there. That's talking about trials, the trying of your faith. And divers is diverse or different. And we're all going to fall into different, various temptations. None of us are immune from our faith being tested. Our faith is going to be tested. It's going to be tried in this life. And that's what we sort of talked about last time. And the very last thing I said when we met together 2 weeks ago in the book of James here is I made the statement that there is a purpose in trials. There's a purpose in trials, and we see that in verses 3 and verse number 4. And here is the purpose in trials, verses 3 and 4. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And so the key words there in verses 3 and 4 is talking about patience. And that's what I want to try to teach on or preach on tonight, is the subject of patience. And if I was given this a title, I would call it, I would say, what is so important about patience? Well, what is so important? What's the big deal about patience? The Word of God says 2 times here it talks about patience. And evidently there's something very important about patience, because God allows the trying of your faith to bring about patience in your life. And if you look at that in verse number 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, the trying of your faith, it is not a pleasant experience to go through when you're talking about the trying of your faith. It can be just, you go through something, you have an experience in your life, you can say at the time, that's the hardest thing I've ever been through in my life. The trying of your faith. It's not an enjoyable thing. It's not an easy thing to go through, but it is a necessary thing that all of us that are saved, as God
works in our life, we're going to go through times that's going to be the trying of your faith. Has your faith ever really, really been tried? I mean, where you just got to the point, you just said, Lord, I don't know. I mean, the trying of your faith, it's a hard thing we're talking about. And different people's faith are tried in many various different ways. I'm not going to go all into that tonight. I talked a little bit about it last week. But the trying of your faith, God allows it to bring about patience in your life. So that's what we're going to look at tonight, is this subject of patience. And the word, I looked up the word in the Bible. How many times in the Bible? Where at in the Bible? All those things. That'll always help you when you're studying a subject in the Bible. But if you just talk about the word patience in the Bible, the word patience is 33 times in the Bible. The word patient is mentioned 9 times in the Bible. And the word patiently is mentioned 6 times in the Bible. And that all adds up to 48 times you have the word patience or something, you know, patiently in the Bible. Now, one thing that interested me that I really had never thought about or come across before, it's only used 3 times in the Old Testament. So the word patience is primarily a New Testament word. We don't find very much in the Old Testament about patience, but we find a lot in the New Testament about patience. But if you take those 3 times in the Old Testament away, that means there's 45 times in the New Testament that you have the word patience. And 45 is divisible by 9. It is 5 times 9. 5 in the Bible is the number of grace. And 9 in the Bible is the number of fruitfulness. And to have patience, it does take the grace of God. But if we will have patience in our life, it'll make us more fruitful. And so I just think that's something interesting to point out tonight. But there are 2 books in the Bible that use the word patience or variation of it the same number of times. And it is the book of James and the book of Revelation. The book of James and the book of Revelation both use the word patience 7 times. 7 in the Bible is the number of completeness. And so you have 7 times in the book of James, 7 times in the book of Revelation. And so as just I was looking at that and noticing where at and how many times in the Bible, that let me know that if we want to learn something about patience, we've come to the right place. Mentions it more here than any other place in the Bible, except the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation has it goes right along with it as well. And so that's just some things about the book of patience in the Bible. But, you know, what does the word patience mean? We've all heard about being patient, having patience all of our lives. I thought about, especially at this time of the year, I thought about children. You know, children, a lot of children have been asking, how many days till Christmas? Well, there's 2 weeks and 12 days and 5 days. And you know how little children are. How many times? I've heard even here in the church, children talk about how many times they wake up. Before, and I used to weary my mom about that. How many days till my birthday? You know, it's 6 months or something, but you can't rush it up. You can't make it come before the time. So what we tell our children after trying to explain to them and everything how long it's going to be, finally we'll tell them, we'll just say to them, you're just going to have to be patient. That doesn't mean anything to you when you're 5 years old, does it? What do you mean I'm just going to have to be patient? But that's what we tell people. You're just going to have to be patient. And when we tell people you're just going to have to be patient, or when we're told we're just going to have to be patient, it always has to do with waiting. You're going to have to wait. You can't make your birthday come before your birthday. You can't make Christmas come before Christmas. There are just some things in life you're just going to have to wait on. And that's what patience is. Patience has to do with waiting. Now, Keep your place here and look in Psalms chapter number 37. Psalms chapter number 37 is the first place in the Bible you find the word patient. It's actually the word patiently, but it's first place in the Bible you find the word patience or patiently. And I've always taught this and preached this, and I've always found it to be true. You know what I'm getting ready to say? First time you find a word in the Bible, you'll find something interesting about it. You'll find a definition for it. You'll find the theme the rest of the way through the Bible. First time you find a word in the Bible. So Psalms chapter 37 in verse number 7. The Bible said, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." That's first place you find patient in the Bible. Here it is. It is the word patiently. But there's key words in verse number 7. If you really, you looked at verse number 7, you're trying to figure out what it means to be patient. There's some key words in verse number 7. I would say that word rest. It's got to do with patience. I'll show you. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Waiting has to do. Patience always has to do. You're going to have to wait for something. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. And here's the other side of it. Fret not thyself because of. Patience has to do with not fretting, resting, waiting, and not fretting while you're doing it. Because you can wait and fret and drive yourself crazy and everybody else about you, but around you crazy because you're fretting over it. But to have patience, you're going to rest, you're going to be calm, you're going to be unruffled, you're going to wait patiently, and that rest there. There's even going to be a rest about your waiting. You're not fretting about it. So there's the thing. That's a real short Bible definition. If you study patience out throughout the Bible, there's the Bible definition in a nutshell. Rest, wait, fret not. I don't like long definitions. I always hated that in school. If I found I had to look up something, I always tried to shorten it. Because I think sometimes there can be so many words in a definition that you lose the, you know, just give me what it means. Rest, wait, fret not. I like that. That's just a good short definition. But just by way of comparison, I am going to give you a long definition because it is a good definition. And it's out of the Webster's 1828 dictionary. And here's what that says. It says, the suffering of afflictions, pain, toil, calamity, provocation, or other evil with a calm, now that's your rest, with a calm, unruffled temper, endurance without murmuring or fretfulness. There's your fret not. You got your rest, you got your waiting, you got your without fretfulness. He says patience may spring from constitutional fortitude or from a kind of heroic pride or from Christian submission to the divine will. I like that. Patience is Christian submission to the divine will. You say, God, I don't understand. But I'm just going to trust you. I'm going to rest in the Lord. I'm going to wait patiently for Him. I know His will is best. I know He's sovereign over all the affairs of my life. I'm not going to fret and worry myself over this. That's what patience is. Christian submission to the divine will. I thought that's a pretty good definition. And so you've got just... But that's what the Bible said. Rest, wait, fret not. Now go back to James chapter number 1. We're going to look at the 7 times in the book of James you find the word patience. And we'll say just a little bit about that, and then we'll come back to verse number 4 tonight and just sort of wind it up that way. But if we're most, more times in the Bible than any other place except Revelation, we find the word patience. So we're in a good place to learn about patience. And we're going to look at the 7 times. 7's the number of completeness. So God's got a message on patience in the book of James. Number 1, verse number 3, he said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. There's a reason for the trying of your faith. Say, why has God let me go through this? To work patience in your life. The trying of your faith, the Bible says right there, worketh patience. So God doesn't just allow things to come into our life to afflict us and hurt us and harm us and test us, but there's a reason. Because patience is important, and God wants you to learn patience. So he allows the trying of your faith. Then in verse number 4, that's the second time, he said, but let patience have her perfect work. And here's the reason, the purpose of patience, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now that's the purpose of patience. That ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now I'm going to come back to that at the end. But that's the second time. Now the third time, look over in chapter 5. Chapter 5 in verse number 7. It says in chapter 5, verse number 7, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Patience is connected with the coming of the Lord. You're just going to have to be patient for the coming of the Lord. In the other book, Revelation, what's Revelation all about anyway? The revelation of Jesus Christ. The coming of Jesus Christ. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the book of Revelation, it's mentioned 7 times over there. You're just going to have to be patient for the coming of the Lord. And that's what he says in verse number 7. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. I thought about this today. Way back over in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 15, is the first messianic prophecy in the Bible. The Lord told Adam and Eve there in the garden, but it said over there about there's going to be enmity between thy seed and her seed, and thou shalt bruise his head, or his head. I'm going to mess it up here, but you know what I'm talking about. And so the Lord told Adam and Eve, and they understood that a deliverer was going to come, and the Messiah was going to come. Well, they had Cain and Abel. Cain slew Abel. And then that she was trusting that through her loins was going to come a deliverer. And he would. But it wasn't Cain and it wasn't Abel. And so they had another son, named him Seth, which means a name. I believe Adam and Eve thought to themselves, surely he'll be the one. He wasn't even the one. You think about how long the Jews looked for the first coming of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. Thousands and thousands and thousands of years. But you know what? He did come for them. And he's going to come for us. But just like they had to be patient, we got to be patient. And he said, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Now, here's how we are about the coming of the Lord. We have a bad day. We have a trial that comes in our life, and we say to ourselves, oh, I wish the Lord had come today. Today would be a good day for the Lord to come. Get me out of this mess. Get me out of this problem. Get me out of this trial that I'm going through. But when we have a good day and we don't have any trials, major trials going on in our lives, then we really don't think much about the coming of the Lord. So when things are bad, we say, even so come Lord Jesus. When things are good, we say, well, we'll just not even worry much about it. That's not the way we should be concerning the coming of the Lord. We ought to be looking for the coming of the Lord every day. Resting in Him. Waiting patiently for Him. Fretting not ourselves over all the wickedness that's out here in the world. You know, everybody knows it's deer season. And during deer season, every day when I get up out of the bed, first thing I do is I look out the window. I'm opportunistic deer hunter. You let the right one be in the wrong place, and I have no shame about raising the window. But I do. I get up out of the... I've never done that, but I would. But here's the thing. Every day I get up, I look out the window, and I go and I look out the door. Or as if I'm up before daylight, I know what time it starts getting daylight, I'll be at the window looking out. And I'll do that from, November to the 1st of January. And so I was looking one day a couple of weeks ago, and a thought crossed my mind. I wonder if we look for the Lord like people look for deer, how it would change our lives. If we got up every morning looking for the Lord to come, saying today might be the day. I might look out today, it'd change our lives. And that's how we are to be in our attitude toward the coming of the Lord. We're to be patient and we're to be looking every day. That's what the Bible says. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. It's 1 John chapter 3. It's just a couple of pages over there and from the book of James, but it's 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2 and 3, where it talks about the coming of the Lord. It says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. If we'd look for the Lord every day like people look for deer or people look for other things, it would purify us in our Christian lives. And so we ought to be looking for the Lord each and every day. So He said, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. That's third time. The fourth time is in that same verse, James chapter 5, verse 7. You notice He said, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Period. That's one sentence. And then He gives an example. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Notice there, the husbandman, that's a farmer. He looks for, he waits for the precious fruit of the earth, and the Bible says, hath long patience for it. Long patience. I know how people are. Say, I've heard about the coming of the Lord all my life. So, the Bible says we need to have long patience for it. Long patience. There is, here's what I get out of this. There is a time and a season for the coming of the Lord. It's not our time and our season, but just as sure as the harvest is going to come, just like the farmer, the husbandman, he's looking at his grape crop and he knows that there's going to be a day when they are going to be ripe, they are going to be gathered in. We know there's a time and season when the Lord is going to come. But it's not in our time and season. It's in the Lord's time and season. You know, I remember back in 1998, 1999, people had in their mind in the year 2000, the Lord's going to come. Y2K and all that stuff, people are preparing for the end of the world as we know it and all that stuff. The Lord didn't come then. That wasn't His time. That was people's time. They said in their minds, well, that'd be a good time for the Lord to come, but that wasn't His time. And last year, last May, I think it was, that fellow, he said, you know, Harold Camping, and they talked about it on the news that he had predicted that the rapture was going to take place. You know what? It didn't take place. Wasn't his time, but in the Lord's time, he is going to come. And then that fellow backed up and said, well, I miscalculated. It wasn't May, it was October. And then some people believed him. Burn me once, shame on you. Burn me twice, shame on me. You know, and they believed him for October, but the Lord didn't come in October. And then some people said that last Friday, December the 12th, 2012, end of the Mayan calendar, that was going to be the end of the world and all this kind of stuff. If I was looking for a day for the Lord to come, I wouldn't have looked for that day. The Bible says, Matthew 24:36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. We do not know the day, but God does. And there is a day on God's calendar. And that's the day that it's going to be, but we don't know. The angels in heaven don't know, but God knows. But it ought to encourage us tonight to know that there is a day. There's a day on God's calendar that is the day when the rapture is going to take place. And there's a day after that for the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth to destroy his enemies at the end of the tribulation. But we don't know the exact day. We know the season. We ought to be able to look and discern. We're bound to be close. Verse 46 says, no man knows the hour or the time. Verse 37, Matthew 24:37 says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So we don't know the day, but we can know that it's close. We're not being a false prophet to say, look at the signs of the times. Look at what's happening. Surely we're close. Because what the Bible says is going to happen in the last days, we see those things happening. People ought to be setting up and paying attention, but a lot of them aren't. But they ought to be. So we know that the Lord's coming. We're going to have to maybe have long patience for it, but he is going to come. And then the fifth time is in verse number 8. He says this, he says, be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. We don't know the day, but we do know when it's getting close. And it's looking closer and closer all the time. You know, 20 years ago, it looked close to me. But you know, it looks a whole lot more closer now than it did then. There's a lot more things in the world that point me to the last days, the second coming, than there was even 20 years ago. 20 years ago, what they were talking about has come to pass now. They were talking about being able to have a computer large enough to track every person in the world. Do you know what? Now that's a reality. Things like that. Implantable chips, all this kind of stuff. The Antichrist will control the world. We're heading towards that. So be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. That's the fifth time. The sixth time, if you look over in verse number 10, what the Bible says over there. As an example for patience, he says, take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. And so James gives us here in chapter 5, verse number 10, an example, somebody to follow their example by. He says, take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. So patience is associated with suffering, affliction. And I think about things. I think about why would God lead us to study the book of James now? See, I tried to get settled on a book for about a year. And I just couldn't get no direction, no guidance whatsoever. But just as sure as I didn't have it on my heart, God laid it on my heart. God laid that on my heart for a reason, for now. For now. So when I study the Word of God, do you know how many times when we study a book of the Bible, as we go through that book of the Bible, none of us knows beforehand, but we get exactly what we need when we need it. So I look in the book of James. What's to come in the book of James? Does that mean that in the days ahead we're going to suffer persecution? Does it mean that our faith is going to be tested? Does it mean that we're going to need wisdom? Sure it does. You know we're going to need wisdom for the days ahead. Our church is going through a test right now with little Ethan. Boy, that breaks my heart. I'm sure all of us think to ourselves, why are they having to go through that? That's a hard thing. These other trials and tests all the time. Why do these things? Well, God said, or the Word of God says here, James says, take the prophets for an example. He said, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Do you know what it said about these? Look in verse number 10. Take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord. Do you know what? It's not going to get easier to live for the Lord as time goes on. It's going to be harder. You look in the Old Testament, you look at the prophets and some of the things that they went through, we're to take them for an example of what it means to go through suffering, affliction. Have you ever asked yourself the question, if I had to suffer for Him, would I? Could I? Well, by the grace of God, you could. But I think God's people need to think about these things. If you were to suffer for your faith, how would you do? How would you do? So he said, take the prophets for an example, because they did pretty good when they suffered affliction. So take them for an example. And then look on down. The last one is in verse number 11. He said, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful, and of tender mercy. And so, he says in verse number 10, the prophets are an example, but here in verse number 11, I believe he gives the patience of Job for an example of suffering and affliction, and somebody that had patience in the trial that they were going through. Job rested in the Lord. He tried not to fret. The Bible said, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And so Job is a great example of somebody that did well under trials and afflictions, and we've talked about, we'll say about somebody, well, he's got the patience of Job. She's got the patience of Job. So there's examples in the Bible of what it means to have patience. Now, go back to chapter 1, verse 4, and I'll finish up tonight. The purpose of it all. The purpose of it all in verse number 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That's the reason you need patience. That's what patience is going to do for you and me. It's going to make us that we may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, what that means is that when patience is worked out in our lives, it brings us to a place of Christian maturity. That's what that means. Perfect. It's not perfect like God is perfect, but a mature Christian. That wanting nothing means, it doesn't mean you get the place in your life like somebody says at Christmas, well, I don't want anything. That's not what that means. Wanting nothing means that you don't have a character flaw. You don't have a lack of the Christian characteristics in your life. You're mature, wanting nothing, lacking nothing in your Christian life. And so we'd all say, like the children's song, "He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be." But that's what that phrase is talking about, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. It means to be a mature Christian. You know, you can study the Bible cover to cover and know what it says. But there are some things you can only learn by experience. You say, on one hand, well, I know what the Bible says. But then you go through a trial in your life and you say, I know why the Bible says that. There's a difference. You know what the Bible says, but knowing why the Bible says and experiencing it in your life to where it becomes real in your life is two different things. And so patience over a lifetime, God is making something out of us, getting us a place where He can use us for His honor and His glory. And so I said at the very beginning, what is so important about patience? What is so important about patience? And we all say things like this. We say, well, I don't have any patience. I have probably said in my life, and I've heard other people say, whatever you do, don't pray for patience. Why would we say something like that? Don't pray for patience. God will give it to you. You'll have to go through something like Job to get patience. People say, well, I don't want to go through what Job went through, but to not have patience, to not want patience, is saying, I'm not a mature Christian and I don't want to be. What we ought to pray is, Lord, help me be a quick learner so I can get through this on to something else. I want to learn my lesson. If my faith has to be tried, I want to have patience during it, and I want to it not ruin me. I want to be a quick learner. Patience in your life as a Christian, patience is going to make you usable to the Lord. Patience is going to cause you to seek to have wisdom in your life. Because if you have an affliction in your life, you have a trial in your life, and you don't know what to do, nobody else knows what to do, what are you going to do? Verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. It's going to cause you to seek wisdom. It's going to cause you to be a man or a woman of prayer. Let him ask of God. Lord, I don't understand. I need some wisdom. I need some help. It is going to cause you to have greater faith in your life. In verse 6 he says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. It's going to cause you to be able to help others when you go through trials. And so patience is important, and God wants us to have patience in our lives. I had somebody ask me, a preacher, and I told you about being interviewed for a class one of my preacher friends is taking in a school. And one of the questions he asked me, he said, where do you see your ministry in 20 years? And I know that a lot of people might say, well, I'd like to have 500 people in church, and you know, nobody sees the future. We don't know, but you know what we ought to desire? We ought to desire, you know, I'd like to be a mature Christian. I'd like to be somebody in my Christian life. Now you think about this. People aren't flocking into church. What if we come on a Sunday morning and this is all we got? It could get to that. It's going to get harder and harder. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're going to have wisdom. We're going to have patience. But you know, I'd like to be the kind of Christian. I'd like to be the kind of daddy. I'd like to be the kind of granddaddy, if the Lord doesn't come soon, that my children and grandchildren say, I don't know, but let's go ask daddy. He knows. He knows the Lord. Wouldn't you ladies like that? I don't know. I don't know what to do, but I know Grandma. I know she knows God. She's been through some things. She's got a lot of wisdom. She knows the right thing to say, the right thing to do. That ought to be our goal. God never places on any of us to be big, famous, have a great following, but He does want us to be perfect and entire, wanting nothing and to have wisdom and maturity in our lives. And the only way to get there is to have patience, to bear up under the trials that we have so we can learn something, so we can help somebody else. So where you want to be in 20 years, you ought to want to be a grown-up Christian. Be mature. Be somebody that people have confidence in, and they know you pray, and they know you can get an answer from God, and you know they know you walk with God. That ought to be our desire. And so verses 3 and 4, I think many times just sort of gets run over, because nobody wants to go through what it takes to get patience. Nobody wants to have patience. But patience, in God's eyes, is important for us to have. We'll never be where we ought to be unless we learn to have patience and to bear up under trials and wait patiently on the Lord, not fret about it. So that's a few little things out of verses 3 and 4 I think gets run over sometimes and not really thought about. And Lord willing, next time, I really like verse 5. We'll talk about this thing about wisdom, because we need a lot of wisdom. So.